This is an MUT Radio podcast.
Exactly 15 minutes before 10. Welcome to the MUT Radio, shaping on the future. And as I said earlier on, that we are actually speaking with Dr. Prashant Maharaj from Life Entabeni Hospital, as well as Netcare St. Augustine Hospital. He's joining us in studio today as we are discussing the brain, something very interesting, because we were wondering, Guti, how does it work? Dr. Maharaj is on the line as we speak. Doc, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us on MUT Radio this morning.
So good morning. It's good to be with you.
Thank you so much. Doc, you are a specialist neurosurgeon. Maybe please just take us through, what does a neurosurgeon do?
Sure. So a neurosurgeon is concerned with treating patients who've had conditions, injuries that affect the brain, the spinal cord, as well as, the nerves that come out of the spinal cord. And our purpose is to treat these conditions so that, we ensure that we preserve brain function. And that's our critical role. And to whatever effect the conditions then affect the brain or the spinal cord, we want to limit its effect. And generally that requires surgery, but that's not always the case. Often we can treat conditions without surgery as well, but sometimes surgery is essentially required. And obviously, brain surgery being quite scary in this day and age, we have used technology now to reduce the seriousness in terms of death and disability to less than 2% for most brain surgeries, which is quite significant, meaning that most patients can go through brain surgery, whether it's for tumor, whether it's for brain injury or an aneurysm, with a relatively good response. So that's the focus for a neurosurgeon, is to try and preserve as much function in the brain and the nervous system.
Yes, definitely. Maybe, Doc, today we are celebrating World Brain Day, and we are commemorating this day. It's such an important day to recognize this important organ in our body. How does it work, the brain itself? What does it function, and how is it? What is the function of a brain?
Sure. So the brain is responsible for many functions. But I think importantly, what we don't necessarily realize is that the brain is responsible for automatic behaviors like breathing, maintaining your heart rate, your sleep, your temperature control. And then there's things that we are more associated with the brain, like flight or fight response, memories, emotion, and obviously movement and feeling as well. It also helps process very important function, sensory function, your vision, hearing, smell, touch, taste, and obviously speech and language. Interestingly, with language, each language that a person is able to understand or communicate with has slightly different areas in the brain. So if somebody is multilingual, they would have a different area for, English, Zulu, Xhosa, Spanish, whatever it is. So that's quite interesting. And then obviously what we call the higher function, which are thoughts and decision making. It's also responsible for keeping the other organs working. So to do all of these functions, the brain in itself, as much as we consider it one organ, has different sub-organs. So it's got the cerebrum, which is the major part of the brain, which everyone associates with. And that's responsible for speech, memory, personality, movement, judgment, and reasoning. And it's usually divided into two halves, the left and right hemisphere. For most right-handed people, that's more than 99% or 98%.
Yes.
The left side of their brain is dominant. That means that's where the important functions for personality, for speech, for hearing, and is located. Whilst the non-dominant, usually the right side, is responsible for things like calculation and reading of words and so forth.
Mm.
The other aspect of the brain called the cerebellum or the mini brain, that's responsible for maintaining balance, posture, equilibrium, and fine skills like writing or painting or drawing. The essential or automatic body functions are located in the brain stem, and that's essentially where your consciousness resides. So if your soul were located in an organ, it would be in the brain stem. Mm. And the other component which we feel or don't often think about is the area called the pituitary gland, and that's responsible for releasing hormones that control your thyroid and your sex organs in the body. So your brain really controls the rest of your body.
Wow.
And as much as life and its consciousness seems to be associated with the heart, that is something that is perhaps more marketed than anything else.
Yes.
But it largely resides all in your brain. When it comes to things like emotions like love and feeling for other people, that comes from the brain.
Oh, really now? Okay. Oh, okay. Wow. That's very interesting, Doc. And there's a myth, Doc, that I think we've seen it even in the movie called Lucy. I don't know if you've watched that movie, that we only use about 10% of our brain. Is that true, Doc?
Yeah, so about 10 to 20% of our brain is in constant use throughout our lives. Mm. There are certain areas of the brain that are relatively silent to your functioning, and that is why we are able, for some types of brain tumors, to do surgery while a patient is awake. So, for example, if we have a patient who's got a tumor in the right frontal region of the brain, that's the non-dominant frontal lobe, The initial part of the surgery, one could be asleep to avoid any pain. But once we have exposed the brain, we can then wake the patient up, stimulate the brain with the electrode to ensure that the area where the tumor is not in fact critical for speech or hearing. And we're able to test those modalities.
Mm.
So certainly parts of the brain are silent or not critically functional for your day-to-day or higher function living. So we could, in fact, take out that tumor while somebody is still awake without any what we call neurological deficit, any deficiency in their functioning. So that is correct in terms of how much we're able to use the brain. Certainly, brain function is dependent on the organ being in good functioning order, but also the stimulation, the environmental stimulation that one gets. And that's why it's so important for young kids to be at school so they get as much stimulation as possible in order for their brain to maximize its function.
Mm. And Doc, you speak of surgeries, in particular the one that you are a specialist on. How risky
Yes.
is it to make this type of surgeries in the brain? And what measures should be taken before taking these surgeries?
So very often when we're doing surgery, there must be a clear, what we call, reason or indication. And whether it's an injury to the brain, whether it's a brain tumor, or whether it's a congenital condition where we have to open areas to allow normal flow of the cerebrospinal fluid, all patients undergo a scan of the brain. Mm. It's usually an MRI or a CT scan, and that would help clearly define what the condition is, and we would then be able to select the best approach. And in my practice, we try to focus on minimally invasive neurosurgery. So, for example, if a tumor was towards the front of the head, I would consider using a small incision around the eyebrow or just behind the hairline to localize the tumor or the problem such that we don't make a large opening.
Mm.
Some patients can undergo surgery where we wake them up. Some patients, it's not a requirement that we do that, so we would keep you asleep.
Mm.
The scan that you have, we have a navigation computer that essentially allows us, once you're asleep, to map your skull onto the computer. So we have a pen-like device that then we're able to point to that part of the brain or the skull, and we can see on the scan exactly where it localizes, almost like GPS for the brain, but obviously quite a bit more complicated.
Mm.
So that increases the safety quite dramatically when we operate on brain tumors, or any brain surgery for that matter. And we usually use a surgical microscope, which is the size of a small room, which gets rolled in. And that magnification helps us look much deeper into the brain to the extent that we can see very clearly the blood vessels that are concerning and preserve them, and the nerves that come out of the brain and preserve them very carefully. So the brain has three major layers that cover it. The first one being the dura mater, which is the one that we need to open to access the brain.
Mm.
The second being the arachnoid. And the arachnoid contains the blood vessels and the cerebrospinal fluid, the water-like fluid that's around the brain. We can, under the microscope, see the arachnoid and carefully open it such that we can access that part of the brain or tumor that we need to.
Mm.
And then the last layer is the pia, which is on the brain. So tumors that are intrinsic to the brain, we would then need to do what we call a subpile resection. So that area of accuracy from the surgical microscope increases safety quite dramatically. And that's why for most brain surgery, the mortality rate is less than 2%,
mm-hmm.
Which I think is, in this day and age, is excellent.
Yes. Definitely, Doc. Before I let you go, Doc, today we are honoring this day and commemorating the hard work that you guys are doing in that industry. Maybe what can you leave the MUT community and the community at large, the listener who is listening, about the importance of this day and celebrating this very important organ in our bodies?
Sure. Yeah, I think it's quite critical that we focus on that, particularly for young children, but I think also for our older population, to maintain that stimulation in terms of our environment, making sure that we are cognitively involved on a daily basis. And then we try and avoid those activities that deteriorate brain function,
mm.
for example, recreational drugs or use of alcohol, which can be directly toxic to the brain. So, as far as possible, we want to ensure that we keep our brains healthy, stimulated, and that helps us in the rest of our lives.
Wow. Thank you so much, Doc. Really appreciate the time that you have given us. Maybe how can one contact your office, or if one wants a consultation with you?
Sure. My offices are at Life Interbeni Hospital. It's on the ground floor. And our telephone number is 031-171-0307. Or they can go along to my website, which is drpmaharaj.co.za.
Dr. Maharaj, thank you so much for joining us on MUT Radio, and happy World Brain Day.
Sure, it's a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.